Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown and beyond. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails. Brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
Number to get involved, 317-684-8444. It is time to hear from you and your voicemails. What is on your mind today with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So you've been saying that Caitlin Clark needs to be the bad guy in the situation to continue the growth of the WNBA.
I think she needs to embrace, what I said was I think she needs to embrace the hate against her. I think she needs to lean into it and not ignore it and go right at these people, because I think while she'll be hated amongst those people, I think she will be beloved by a large portion of the populace who see this hate as bizarro, pathetic jealousy, and in many cases, just blatant racism.
So it just creates some controversy.
It does.
Which is drama, which is why you want to watch.
Absolutely. The goal is you got a window. And like I said yesterday, the best analogy I can use is when Wayne Gretzky went to the Los Angeles Kings in the late 80s and you saw a huge surge in people who were interested in hockey because of that. And that window lasted about 5-6 years, and then it disappeared, and hockey's back to being a niche sport again and has been for the last 30 years. You got a window. Capitalize on it.
Okay, well, here's a phone call, somebody agreeing with you. Ooh. And they have another example.
Hey guys, I just wanted to call, and I hate to say this, but you know, Rob is pretty much spot on, I think, on the whole Caitlin Clark thing. I personally grew up in Lansing, Michigan, which I don't know, Casey, what your issues with Lansing, but that's okay. We'll get past that. And I went to the same high school as Magic Johnson. So I became an MSU fan as time went on. And I still remember the MSU Indiana State game where in the finals where MSU wins, and the front page of the State Journal says that the bird turned out to be a turkey, you know, and that rivalry that was set there at the college level transitioned into the rivalry that was with the Lakers and Celtics, which really helped bring the NBA up a lot, you know, kind of saved them, I think, made a lot of teams profitable. And it was that rivalry that they leaned into that helped save the league. And that's what the NBA or what the WNBA needs is, you know, you got to have a good guy, you got to have a bad guy, you got to have sides, you need a Peyton Manning and, you know, a Patriots, you know, situation going on there. So anyway, that's all. Thanks, guys.
So what's Caitlin Clark going to do? Take on the rest of the WNBA?
Yeah. No, that's what she really has to do. But she will be, we're going to use a wrestling term here, she'll be the baby face, the good guy to many people, because it isn't like you're going to the city and insulting the fans. It is you're saying, look, I am the best player in the history of women's college basketball. I'm going to elevate my game in the pros. My goal is to be the greatest women's basketball player ever at any level. And these people hate me because they're jealous, and a bunch of them are just racist. Just lean into it. And then you've got everybody, because what's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen this week? What, you know, people be interested in the press conferences, all those sorts of things. And it just, to me, just seems so blatantly obvious that that's what they've got to do. But a lot of it, as we talked about, rides on what is her level of comfort.
Right. She's going to have to make that commitment. And does she want that sort of pressure on her shoulders? One last comment about Lansing. No problem with Lansing, Michigan. That's where I met the dude. And in fact, he's talking about Everett High School. And I, at one point, worked right next to Everett High School.
How exciting.
And we've got this list of restaurants we talked about yesterday. And Hooters was on the list of restaurants that used to be cool but aren't anymore.
Yeah, now they're gone.
And here's a call about Hooters.
There is, Rob, still Hooters on the south side of Indianapolis, down 31. And we have a house in proximity of that. And you always know when it's last call because about 15 minutes later, and our house is about a mile from it, you can hear all the motorcycles and all the high-performance Mustangs leaving the parking lot. So we always knew what time of morning it was on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, bike nights at Hooters, that used to be a really popular thing.
Really?
I don't know. Do they still do that?
How would I know?
He's saying that they do.
Well, it's Southside Tom would have zero reason. He has never lied in the history of the show. Kev was nodding as though he understood.
I've actually been to that Hooters. My friend's dad took me and my friends there when I was like 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Good move.
So
yeah.
It was great food, great service. Uh-huh. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Great scenery.
Yeah. Lots to look at.
Burned in your memory, isn't it?
Yeah, great memory.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here's a list of restaurants in the central Indiana area that used to exist that aren't around anymore.
The Paramount out on East Washington Street. They had the Mighty Wurlitzer, and in their later days, they had a great buffet there. There was a place called the Ice House. It was out on West Street, and they had great food there, and they had the best tenderloins and the best cold beer ever. Edwards, down on South Sherman Drive and Raymond Street, there near Beech Grove. The best tenderloins ever, the best onion rings ever. The fried pickles were terrific there, and the root beer, it was made fresh on the premises. Many people remember McLarney's. They were out of Morris Street. Great restaurant there, great food. Shakey's out in Castleton. That was a great buffet out there, well worth the drive. We had someplace, I think it was called the Whistle Stop. It was out in Castleton's early days. And they had boxcars. You actually got your hamburger there.
Do you remember any of these restaurants?
Shakey's, yeah. The rest of those, no.
Before your time?
Yeah.
Well, what was the within 5 years, most new restaurants end up closing? Yeah. So if you can make it in the restaurant biz, you could probably just about do anything. Okay, more fighting about Purdue and IU fans, and here's a call about Purdue.
This is a message for Rob. I went to IU, but I do cheer for Purdue. However, I met a lady yesterday. I said, are you going to watch that game? She says, yeah. I said, what time does it start? She said, after 9. I said, oh, well, Bob Knight would be rolling over in his grave. And she said, good. So there is a thing about Purdue fans not liking IU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how pathetic it was yesterday. I mean, like, we've had a lot of fun with the Purdue people, but it really was. I mean, it was pathetic, and it showed that the little brother syndrome that exists with Purdue, that in your moment of glory, your moment on the national stage, the Purdue people were fixated on chanting about IU.
Yeah.
And so for all you people who are like, well, I cheer for everyone, Purdue people told you what they thought of you. There's not a single solitary Purdue person who I believe was cheering for IU in 1987 or 1981 or 1976 or 2002 or any other time, Casey. I mean, you got to admit, as a Purdue fan, that's a horrible look that you're so... I will not be ignored, Dan. You're so Meryl Streep that in your moment of glory, you're chanting about IU.
Okay, so Hoosiers really showing that basketball does rule supreme in the great state of Indiana, because more phone calls about basketball. And this time it's about Caitlin Clark once again.
Hey, just listening to you guys about the Caitlin Clark and the NBA and all the hate. A good business person, male or female, you know, we only got two genders anyway, but back to the subject, good businessman or woman is going to take that deal from that Ice-T dude that wanted to pay her $5 million to play in that three-on-three league and then make, you know, the endorsements on top of that. Hey, she could take care of a lot of people with all that money.
So I don't know what endorsement deal he's talking about.
So Ice Cube, Ice-T was close.
Yeah.
Ice Cube has a celebrity basketball league. It's a three-on-three league. They have a national television deal. I think it's like one of those where it's on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And he offered her $5 million to play in his 3-on-3 basketball league, which he claimed also would have allowed her to play in the WNBA. Now, what was interesting was the Barstool guy came out and said, I'll pay you $10 million to play on our intramural team. Mm-hmm. And here, if I were her.
Take any one of those.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If I were her, I would do one of two things, because the WNBA thing is not going to work. She does not appear to have the personality necessary to embrace the hate in order to make this thing work on a grandiose scale. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm saying that's just how she appears to be wired. If I were her, I would do one of two things. I would either try to negotiate some sort of deal to go back to college basketball. But I think she so cares about those records that then it would taint the record. So if you're not going to do that, just turn yourself into a traveling freak show, because your shelf life is so limited that I would gobble up all of these opportunities that I could. I'm not even sure I would play in the WNBA. I think I would almost turn myself into some traveling freak show where you've got to pay, or somebody's got to pay a premium in order to watch me play basketball, and you would keep the people wanting to see you if you keep your exposure limited to these sorts of things. And I think she'd make more money in the process.
Right, make as much money as you can in a short amount of time, and then move along with your life and be done.
Absolutely.
And don't worry about the hassle and all the hate.
Can you tell me any WNBA records? Like everybody, you know, the home run record in baseball or whatever. Can you tell me any?
No.
No, nobody, and I'm not saying that because nobody can. The records mean nothing there. Whatever she's going to do, she can only, this is the bad position she's in now. She can only not exceed expectations.
Right.
No matter what she does, she will not exceed people's expectations. She will likely not achieve the expectations, because now, let's face it, in college, she's clearly the best, and you're playing against girls. Now you're playing against a bunch of grown women, night in and night out. So even if you're an effective WNBA player or a good NBA WNBA player, you're not going to hit the level of expectation that people have for you, and that flame burns out pretty damn quick. So if I were her, man, all of the Barstool guy, the 3-on-3, all of that, and keep yourself from getting exposed is not maybe potentially living up to the expectation.
Strike while the iron's
exactly
hot. Of course, there's the other side of it where maybe she does do it for the love of the game, and rising tide raises all boats. Maybe she wants to try and do something for the sport. That's a lot of pressure on her to be able to do that.